This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Heather Dinich, who joined us in hour number one, discuss what went down yesterday in Dallas. I think if you're a college football fan and you are a pro expansion of the playoff, yesterday was a good day. It was a good start, but there's still a lot of business to attend to, and we will address that late September when everybody gets back together and figures out, all right, where are we on that bad boy? But at least it's moving in the right direction from an expansion standpoint. Tough loss for the Hoos last night, though, Mr. Durham. Right? I mean, that was a gut-wrenching loss for Virginia last night, if you stayed up and watched.
Yeah, 6-5 the final last night. Mississippi State comes back in the final inning and two-thirds to win the ball game. Tanner Allen, the SEC's Player of the Year, a big home run to give them the lead, and the Bulldogs add from there. So Virginia falls into the loser's bracket. They play again tomorrow. NC State now, not until Friday out in Omaha. So technically an off day for the ACC, which means that teams can relax a little bit, and that's where we find Danny Gray's full relaxation mode here to start the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Look at that, Pack, up and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to roll with us this morning.
Well, you probably just got in about 20 minutes ago, so you should be wide up and ready to roll. I mean, that ACC Network crew you're hanging out with, they couldn't wait to take you to the Drover and break you in slowly and surely. So I'm just assuming suddenly you just got up, you just got in. That's the way you guys roll out there in Omaha.
I mean, my hair's still done from last night, right? I mean, I didn't have to do anything when I got on the show. I just woke up and here I am.
That's it.
Yeah.
Tough loss, though. How about that game, though, last night? Now, that is a gut-wrenching loss if you're the Hoos.
Let me tell you, that hurt my heart. It was definitely a tough loss. It was such a great game, just cruising along. And, you know, Griff McGarry, we were talking about him for the last couple of days, how electric his stuff was, and listening to Coach O'Connor talk about how much he's improved throughout the year. Cause you know, at the beginning of the year, he started out as a number two starter and then he struggled big time. And then they took some time off, let him try to get straight again. And then all of a sudden he's throwing 97 to 99 miles an hour and his slider was filthy. Then all of a sudden, man, that one inning, the eighth inning, just, you know, I feel like he got a little bit fatigued, you know, walked the first batter and the next batter, his fastball kind of flattened out and it was two run homer. He still came out with the lead and still, you know, was an unbelievably great performance. But after that, it was like the Mississippi State just woke up and just started swinging the bats.
Danny, let's go recovery phase here for Virginia. You've been there. The tough loss, now a day off where you play again. You've almost got to find a way. And I think this is where Brian O'Connor benefits from kind of being in this area before, in this postseason in particular, is that he's got to get his team to flush last night and look forward. You can't worry about what's happened. You got to worry about what's ahead, right?
Absolutely. And this team, if any team that's still remaining in this College World Series, Virginia is the one that has experienced elimination games the most. They've won six straight elimination games. So to me, they still have the ability to continue to come back and play better and continue to play well and win. If you listen to any of Brian O'Connor's press conference last night, I mean, he opened my eyes big time. And I knew what kind of a head coach he was and how great of a motivator he was. His first comment was basically telling his team that we didn't lose this game. That team beat us tonight, which is so true because they didn't really do a whole lot of terrible things to lose the game. The other team, Mississippi State, was just better in that last inning and two-thirds. So, you know, as a player, you think, okay, right, we just thought we lost this game, and he's telling us we got beat. Well, you got beat, so let's go, you know, move forward and forget about this.
Danny, I want to go back, though, to the game last night, and you've played it at the highest level. When you have a guy who's pitching a no-hitter, and yet you got a 4-0 lead, and, hey, 4 sounded at the time – like, that's plenty, because now the question is, hey, let's just go get this thing and get a no-hitter out of it, and what an incredible experience. But Virginia had so many chances to blow that thing wide open prior to the eighth inning. In fact, it kind of felt like Mississippi State, to their credit and their bullpen's credit, did a remarkable job to keep it at four, because it looked like and felt like it could be 6, 8, or 10-0, because Virginia had guys on second and third, it seemed like, all night long, and just didn't get that one extra base hit to just really blow the thing open. And again, I give Mississippi State all the credit. But you've played this game now at the ultimate level. When you are riding on the Virginia side last night, and hey, it's 4-0, I'm sure there's never a thought of, hey, we're going to lose the game, let's go win the no-hitter. But when that thing got to 4-2, didn't you immediately think, wow, it's hard to believe this is only a 2-run game? Because it did not feel like it at any point in time, even in the eighth inning.
That right there, what you just explained, Pac, is exactly kind of what Coach O'Connor was saying. Mississippi State was just so good. They kept Virginia from scoring when they had opportunities. And when the Mississippi State had those opportunities late in the game, they took advantage of them. And there's one part of that game, I can't remember the exact inning. It was 4-0, and there was a runner on second with one out for Virginia. Somebody hit a little blooper to center field, yeah. And the guy didn't get a good read off the bat. And I said immediately that runner should have scored. Like, what's he doing? He should have read that a little bit better. To me, that was the only thing that they did wrong early in the game. But if he runs and he scores, then it's 5-0. Well, the score ended up 6-5. So not saying that would have been the game changer, but that was a big part of the game that – the only mistake I think Virginia made where it could have made a difference at the end of the game. But still, you know, this is baseball. That's how baseball works. You know, little things happen or little things don't happen that you know, determine the outcome of the game.
Yep.
Danny, let's pivot a little bit to what Virginia has to go through tomorrow. Texas has rebounded nicely from the opening round loss in bracket play. Longhorns are a high seed in this event. Talented squad, dismissed Tennessee yesterday convincingly. What do you think Virginia's up against based on what you've seen so far?
Well, I love how you just worded that, dismissed them. That's great. So hopefully Virginia's going to dismiss Texas too. And you know, I'm from Texas. I'm in San Antonio, but I'm not a Longhorn fan. So I hope they get dismissed too. What do they have to do? Well, you know, Pete Hansen is apparently throwing for the Longhorns, and he's their number three guy, but some people say he's got the best stuff out of all of them. To me, Virginia, I don't think they're really worried about who they're playing. I think if they just go out there and have the same kind of offensive approach as they did the first couple games, you know, coming out swinging. Zach Geloff is just on fire, and I don't think we're talking enough about him, but he's on fire. Kyle Teal's on fire. Come out offensively and put the pressure on Texas early, you know, and hopefully that's all it's going to take. And I'm not sure how good Texas is as far as coming back in games. Mississippi State, of course, they showed how good they are. But Texas, to me, you know, they're not crybabies. I'm not going to say that. But they a lot of times, like them and Tennessee both were like, there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of emotion in this College World Series, but come on, like let's not cry about every little thing that doesn't go our way. So to me, that's what they were doing. Virginia, they're ballers. They're going to go out and play their game and hopefully come out on top.
All right, let me take you to the game tonight. It does not involve an ACC team, but if you're an NC State fan, you're watching because you know what? You've beaten Vanderbilt, and it was a great game. Again, Highfield was unbelievable. Against Leiter, an incredible game, 1-0. And you've also beaten Stanford, in which you jumped the Cardinal from the get-go and kind of put that thing away before the Cardinal even got to first base. So if you're an NC State fan tonight, Danny, and you know about the 1-2 combination that Vandy has with Rocker and Leiter, and you've already beaten Leiter, do you sit back and say, it doesn't matter who we play, or does it matter who you play Friday afternoon based on the outcome? Because you get the winner of the game tonight. What would you say if you're a State fan?
Okay, so this might be the toughest question I've ever been asked in my life. I don't know how to really answer this one. You know, because if you're NC State, you're thinking, I don't care who we play. We've already beaten both these teams. We've beaten some of the best pitchers in all of college baseball. So throw out whoever you want. To me, I don't know enough about Stanford except for just that first game that I watched. I know they had a great pitcher, Brandon Beck. But Vanderbilt, I think, would be more juicy of a win. Now, and I say that because everybody talks about Rocker and everybody talks about Leiter, and of course they need to talk about them because of how great they are. But I don't think NC State would face either one of them on Friday. So, you know, bring whoever you want to bring, and let's beat you again. I think it's more of a sexy pick to beat Vanderbilt than it is to beat Stanford.
Okay.
All right.
Does that answer your question, Pat?
Before we let you go here.
Well, I mean, listen, you played you played at the highest level, and I got a new ACC Omaha bat. I mean, that's why I'm asking you the question, because I'm going to just tell you, if I'm sitting back tonight and I'm an NC State fan, you know what? We kind of manhandled Stanford. That Vanderbilt crew has got championship DNA. I would much rather see Stanford than I would Vanderbilt if I was an NC State fan. That's just me.
You're right. You're right. But they beat Leiter. Leiter would have beat anybody else in the country that night. He might have beat some big league teams that night.
I know. But if I'm NC State, you know when I want to see Leiter? When he's wearing a Major League Baseball uniform. That's when I want to see Leiter if I'm NC State.
You're right. Hey, that's a great point. So you might have swayed me a little bit, but I know what I need to do. I need to find that same bat here. I mean, that bat is pretty legit.
Not only is it legit, it's powerized. Right. Look at that right there.
Oh, my gosh.
ACC.
All right. Now I know how big time you guys are showing off that bat.
Yeah,
that is so awesome.
You like that? Hey, Danny.
Yeah, I love that.
The biggest problem I got, though, Danny, is I got a Labrador Retriever sitting here at my feet, and he smells new stick, and this looks like a great play toy for Fuller right here. Here's Fuller down here. He is just waiting for me to put this bat on the floor, because this would be the end of the Louisville Slugger.
I see that box back there. You might want to put it back in the box.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Hey, before we let you go, is there a bone you want to pick with me about Robbie Morrison being my all-time favorite, you know, closer in college baseball? You got an issue with me on Robbie Morrison, the piranha? By the way, Pac loves the nickname.
The nickname was great.
Yeah, Wes, I will never have a problem with you, especially when my favorite announcer is sitting over there to the right that was just showing off that bat and that dog. I mean, you know. Hey, it's all good, man. Hey, I just wanted you guys to know that I was watching, and I'm always listening to you guys, and I love the show. And hey. I mean, it's even cooler to be on. Hey, Wes, I don't have to be your favorite. I still love you guys, no matter what. Hey, can I say one thing?
Hey, sure.
Can I show one more thing real quick?
Yeah.
I need to show that my bed is made, because Kelsey Riggs was on the show yesterday with you guys, obviously, and she's telling me that whatever you do, you better make your bed, because, you know, it'll make me think differently of you. I'm like, why? And she said, you just have to have a made bed in a hotel. So there's my proof that I made the bed for this show.
You know what? Right. A true professional. That is a true professional right there. That's what that is.
Hey, Danny, don't forget, just remember the Black American Express card to help Kelsey and Rooney get dinner, okay? Just make sure that's part of the rookie orientation program. You're in charge of that, right?
I did hear that, but I somehow found this Packer and Durham credit card that's going to be put on that tab when we go out tonight.
Yeah, well, guess what? I got news for you. It hasn't been used in 15 months, so knock the dust off that thing, will you? And have one on us.
Definitely.
See you
definitely.
Soon, bud. Be well. Thanks, Danny.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good day.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham presented by New York Life. It's that time of the show where we go up to Bristol, Connecticut, home of the smart people. And, man, is he fired up, because his Phoenix Suns last night pulled a Mississippi State out of nowhere, found a W, and they're up 2-0 in those NBA playoffs. And look at him. He is beaming like this valley, the rally in the valley, or whatever they're calling it out there in Phoenix. He's fired up about it.
Let me just say this. Here's Al McCoy's former intern, ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Brooks, to offer this week's edition of Fill in the Blank. Nice to have you back. Things going well, I hope.
Shazam, as Al McCoy says. Raise your hand if your team's up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Oh, just
raise
just
your hand, Drew. No, that's it. Yeah, your
literally
team.
Literally nobody
right.
cares about the Suns. But
raise your hand if you're 20 games behind the first place Giants. What's up? All right, let's go. Fill in the blank. What's
all
happening?
Right. Go. Come on.
Right, we're going to start with college football. The first 12-team college football playoff will be in the year blank.
2026.
Oof. So you're saying the fall of 26, Pac?
Yeah, I think that I hope it's earlier. No, don't get me wrong now. This is purely a guess. I think the new format will start a new contract. That's what I think.
I'm going to be a little more aggressive than that.
Wow.
And I'm going to say fall of 24. I think they rewrite some of these deals. I think that they're able to process and they want – I think most of the sponsors, emphasis on most of the sponsors – want to continue to be in the event, so I think they'll be able to prorate some of this and carry it over and build a new deal pretty quick. So I'm going to go a couple years earlier than that.
I hope you are right. I'm rooting for you to be right on that one.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm going to go fall of 24, January 25, first time we do it. How's that?
Okay. I like it.
All right.
All right, so obviously we're hoping NC State or Virginia can add to the national championship list that the ACC has had this year. But so far, your favorite championship storyline this season has been blank.
That's easy. Larry Penley, ACC Golf Championship. For me. Oh, you mean national championship. Oh, I'm sorry.
National championships.
All right.
Penley still gets credit for Pettit's, though.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm biased here. I got the pom-poms out. I'm going to go Turk Pettit and Larry Penley. Tie them together. It's even better. That's me, though.
I got to be honest. I just voted for the McKelvin and the Mary Garber Awards, which are presented annually to the ACC's top male and female athletes. And Aaron Mattson's three national championships are stunning on paper. But Charlotte North winning the Towarton Trophy and the women's national title in lacrosse, to me, is my favorite storyline. Because I think you're talking about BC, a program that's been on the doorstep. They broke through this year with the best player. I'm going to go Charlotte North and Boston College women's lacrosse.
Biased opinion is Turk Pettit. Unbiased opinion, and that would be the correct answer, Wes. BC women's lacrosse.
Thank you.
Yep. Pack, are you okay?
All right. Appreciate that.
There's a lot of love for Wes right now.
No,
I
just
heard you so complimentary before.
Well, I think he's right. Now, I'll tell him when I think he's wrong, but I think he's right.
So this was almost going to be a very easy next question. As David Teal pointed out, we were only 6 outs away, really 5 outs away. But the most impressive pitching performance by an ACC pitcher so far in the NCAA tournament has been blank.
You saw it this week.
Mm.
You saw it this week.
Yeah.
And it was in the red and white pinstripe. Let me emphasize the unis. When you go eyeball to eyeball against Mr. Leiter, that game right there, that dude right there.
Yeah.
Sam Highfield, to me, that was a pressure-packed, one bad pitch, and man, this thing goes haywire. That was an incredible baseball game, and Vanderbilt has got championship DNA. Leiter is going to be one of the top picks in the draft. I thought Sam Highfield was awesome. There have been a lot of good ones, but that was a big-time W.
Yeah, I'll go with the same one, but I'd like the ability to revisit this in a week. Because I think for either NC State or Virginia to potentially win the national championship, there's going to have to be maybe one or two more out there like it. But Sam Heifel was fantastic the other night against Vanderbilt. I would mark that one down for sure.
Good stuff.
College World Series definitely been fun. So it brings us to our next question. Your favorite postseason format in college sports
here we go.
Is blank.
It's easy. It's the College World Series. I've said this 100 times. If I said it once, I think it's the best NCAA tournament. College baseball. I think it's in the best town. It's the best town to win the championship. Omaha does the best job of any championship city. Mm. It's the best one.
Yeah. Yeah, for this event, Omaha is sensational. Pack, I would say if the Final Four were in Indianapolis every year, would we have the same kind of momentum for the men's basketball? I know it's not. I know. But would we have the same kind of momentum? I'm not sure, right? What do you think?
I just think the sport lends itself to be outdoors. It's summertime.
Yeah.
The pace. You know, basketball, you're kind of in, out, and gone. And then let's go do the city. Omaha, it's just got a vibe to it. It's just, hey, you know you're going to the ballpark. So let's go enjoy ourselves at the ballpark. It's outdoors. Life is good. People are great. Food's awesome. Indy does a great job. San Antonio's awesome. New Orleans is an incredible spot for the Final Four. Anything else? There's a pocket in a rotation for me that I enjoy at the Final Fours. But Omaha is like the Masters in golf. You know that. You say the word Omaha, you know exactly what we're talking about. If I said to you Indianapolis, well, there are a thousand things could pop in your head. Could be the 500. Could be the fact that Mark Emmert makes $3 million there. Could be, I don't know, bad Colts football. Whatever you come up. But I say Omaha, you know exactly what we're talking about. Right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. I would agree. I think it's the best postseason format in that life for sure. I mean, the Final Four is great, but there's only certain parts of the Final Four that are really good. I think the first couple of rounds are always fascinating because it's wall to wall. Once you get to the Sweet 16, it turns into more of the, you know, kind of what your expectation is of the next round type deal. So, but Omaha is sensational, no question. So, there you go.
Pack, you're absolutely right. I just Googled quickly Indianapolis, and the first thing that came up is Mark Emmert makes $3.5 million a year.
I said yesterday he's a $3 million pinata. That's what when I say the $3 million pinata, that's the first thing that pops in your head? Mark Emmert. That's what he is.
Yeah.
It is crazy how fast time flies. Can you believe that 10 years ago today, Kyrie Irving was selected first overall in the NBA draft? Which leads us to our next question. Mm. The best number one NBA draft pick out of the ACC is blank.
Mark?
Oh, let me give this one some thought.
And by the way, the Common Draft 1966, that's important to note because Art Haman of Duke was the number one pick in 1963 by the Knicks.
So
First ACC player ever to be number one.
These are players that were in the ACC at the time of the NBA draft.
Is the question asking us who was the best player at the time that they were picked or how it turned out?
However you want to answer it.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to go David Thompson, NC State, 1975.
By the way, drafted by the Eastern Conference finalist Atlanta Hawks, and, of course, never played for him, went to the Denver Nuggets and said, the best player when he was drafted was Ralph Sampson, 1983. Zion was sensational. Ralph Sampson for 4 years dominated end-to-end. So there you go. Give me some stick.
Let me ask you a question.
Final game at U-Haul, by the way, there. Well, oh, and here's DT now.
I gave you a bunch of love early. Now let me ask you a question. Biggest word in sports, if we're going to go into a gym, you and me are walking into a gym, and I'm going to line up all those dudes in their prime, you're going to pick Ralph first over David Thompson?
Go back to the list again. But we're talking about coming out of college.
I understood that. All of these dudes are in their prime, and they're leaning up against the wall in the gym, and you get to pick the first guy you went on your team. Who do you pick?
If I'm going to build one around a team, I'm probably going to take the biggest guy on the floor, and that would be Sampson. But to your point, there are three-time National Players of the Year on this list. Right? You and I know that. There are three-time National Players of the Year. David Thompson, Ralph Sampson, Tim Duncan on that list. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those three, personally. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's great, but who are you picking first?
But I would take Ralph. I know, but I'm taking Ralph. I want to build a team. I'm going to take the 7-4 guy.
Okay. I'm going to take David Thompson. And then I'm going to watch David jump over Ralph.
Like Gene Banks did that night?
And I know Ralph has been on the show, and we like old Ralph because he's funny.
Love Ralph.
And he's still ticked off how North Carolina held him out in the four corners of that ACC championship game.
Yeah.
But, as a kid growing up, as an NC State fan who had a pair of DTs, I'm going with David Thompson, 44 of the Red Wine.
You guys are both right. The answer is Tim Duncan. The last one here. Today's a very, very special day. Today's show 413, and we have Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuente coming on today. So the question is, in the first 413 shows, the guest that you have been most excited to talk to is blank.
All right. I'm going to answer Barbara Packer. Because when we put Barbara Packer on the show, dear old mom, it was to call her to make sure that Billy, dear old dad, had not passed away, according to one of our callers. So I'm going to say Barbara Packer. I was the most excited to hear from, not to mention the positive answer that I got from mom. So Barbara Packer is my answer, Wes.
I can't follow that. I'm not following that. I'm done.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Sam Heifel joined us yesterday. In case you missed it, we'll replay this. And we start our visit with Sam talking about, hey, you didn't seem to be fazed at all on Monday night.
The night games are tougher for me because I do like all day building up. There are some nerves, and so the day games, you know, you get up and you just go to the field. And yesterday I just sit around for a few hours in my room and played some cards, ate lunch, watched a little bit of the first game, and going up against Leiter, you know, I knew I had to be good, and I guess all it took was one run.
Yes, it did. All it took was one run. When you know you've got the opposing pitcher who he is, and he is a great pitcher. Take nothing away from him. He is a fantastic pitcher. I suspect that makes you better too, because you understand every little thing is important. You just can't give up anything to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he is really good. he's everything that they, you know, everybody hypes him up to be. He should be one of the top 5-10 picks in the draft, should be the first pitcher taken off the board. So, you know, that makes you feel like you do have to do a little bit more, but I didn't try to think about that too much, you know, just try and go out and put up 1-0 at a time.
Take me through, if you can, how the game felt, because I've had pitchers tell me in the past it's about early third, middle third. I mean, when did the comfort level kind of, okay, it's just another ball game, it's not Omaha type thing?
For me, it's the first inning is really important for me. I've had early on this year and through the middle of the season, first innings for me, it was either like I gave up a couple two spots like here and there in the first inning. And to go out and put up a zero is in the first inning is huge for me. And it calmed me down a lot last night after the first inning, you know, trying to get my legs. And I was able to, go out there in the second, third inning a little bit more relaxed.
Sam, as far as this NCAA tournament run, you know, you guys had to go to Ruston, Louisiana. Rowdy, Louisiana Tech is really, really good. You beat them twice. You go to Fayetteville, one of the great baseball environments in the country, the number one team, and you had to beat Kevin Copps to do it, and you did. How did it prepare you guys for not only last night seeing Leiter and Vanderbilt, but also what you did to Stanford to lead things off? I mean, you guys jumped them from the get-go. I mean, this thing feels like it's been building. That, you know what? Ruston made sense for you guys for Fayetteville. Fayetteville made sense for you guys for Omaha. Do you guys get a sense that, you know what, we're built for this? We're built to win the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, I do. And it's funny because all season, you know, we're playing in front of a limited capacity at the Doak and at other ACC stadiums. And then the last weekend at home, we opened up a little bit, got a few more fans, and then went to Charlotte ACC tournament. And there was a lot of fans there, probably 5,000, 7,000. And but those were all our fans. And then we go to Louisiana Tech. There's and they're rowdy. Yeah, you said it. They're crazy, and I don't know how many they fit in there, but they were crazy. And then to go to Arkansas and win in Fayetteville, you know, the stadiums keep getting bigger and the stages keep getting bigger. It's cool.
Hey Sam, tell us what Coach Avent's been like, because been a lot of stories about you guys and kind of the way he handles everything, and everybody just kind of, you know, number nine's this kind of guiding light here, but it's kind of like having your buddy be your guiding light, right? I mean, he gets after you when you need to be gotten after, but at the same time, the communal embrace is on here with you guys, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah, he's awesome, and he's a great head coach, and he's standing right here next to me.
Really? Come on. No. Wheel him in here. Come on. Don't let him sky away from people. Look at this. Really?
You can't ask a guy.
Oh, my
gosh.
Unbelievable.
Like that when I'm standing right here. You want me to go outside and see what he really thinks?
No.
Unbelievable, Pat.
Now, let me tell you something. You need to hug your pitcher because he put on a show last night, Coach.
I hug him all the time.
Hey, I just want you to know how proud one Apex High School alum is for another one last night, Elliot, because my man delivered some Cougar pride last night out in Omaha. That's all I know.
He was unbelievable. I'm telling you, lighter was everything that they said, and then some. And for Sam, knowing he had to keep us there to do that against a great Vanderbilt offense, what a great job he did.
All right, question for both of you.
I'm out of here. Talk to Sam.
All right.
Wait. You don't barge in. You don't get to call when you leave.
Here you go. I want to know this. You could not have scripted a better start. Now we get a couple days off. So what's the game plan today? As I'm sure you're going to watch Virginia tonight against Mississippi State. So what do we do now for the next couple days? What's the game plan?
Well, we actually rest, to be honest with you. We're you know, we played nine guys for about 3 months here. Austin Murr always likes to joke, nine guys from nine states. And we're going to rest a little bit. There's a little bit of a bug going around. Chris Hart caught it. He's been sick for like 4 or 5 days. Cam Cotter, I got it. JT Jarrett got it. There's a bug going around. So we're going to lift today, get a little bit of a practice in. We're getting ready to eat breakfast in about 20, 30 minutes. But we're going to rest for a few days and try to get our legs back underneath us.
Yeah, you earned it.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we look forward to seeing you on the show tomorrow at 8:45, Elliot. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate you. We'll see you in the morning at 8:45.
All right, that's my outage. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Guess what? Yeah, guess what? Elliot Avent coming up here next, live from Omaha. Pack, one of the nice storylines that develops here is when guys do stuff at the College World Series and a lot of people find out about it, it can trickle back to hometowns. And Sam Heifel, no exception. You know how, like, when NC State gets big wins, they light up the bell tower, right? Right there off Hillsborough Street. Well, Mayor Jacques Gilbert, the water tower near Old Raleigh Road and Mason Street in Apex, North Carolina, that's kind of like the thing in town. We used to paint that in high school, by the way. Mayor Jacques Gilbert congratulating Sam Heifel. So what'd they do? They lit the water tower red last night in Apex, right outside of Raleigh. Congratulations to Sam Heifel. He was fun to visit with. I enjoyed that. There it is. Cougar pride. Don't forget. Cougars in the house. That's it. Go get them, Sam.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
He promised he's going to be back, and he is. Let's go back to Omaha.
He did.
Where the Pack is 2-0, chilling out till Friday afternoon, but there's still some business at hand. Elliot Avent joins us. Coach, first of all, hope you're feeling well.
I'm feeling a lot better. Thanks a lot, Pack. I'm still got a little congestion and a little bit of a scratchy throat, but I'm a lot better.
All right, keep everybody healthy now. We got to go on Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock. That's the game plan.
Okay, the rest is needed. Thank goodness Sam Highfield was Sam Highfield the other day and Evan Justice to get us a few days off. We need it badly.
When you get to this point, now you've been out there 8 years ago, but now you're 2-0 and here's this break. How do you handle it? I mean, do you think about the momentum of it? Do you just say, hey, we're going to process this as needed?
Oh, no, you handle it very gladly, I'm telling you. These few days off, not only with our thin bullpen, but these few days off, just like I said, this virus is going around a little bit, and it's going to be good for the players.
All right, so tonight you got your feet up. You got Vandy. You got Stanford. You've beaten them both. I know you're going to tell me, Pack, it doesn't matter. We play Friday. Whoever shows up, so it shows up. So break it down. You've seen both teams. What do you think happens tonight?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be a great game. I know Vandy's pitching is really, really elite, and I don't know as much about Stanford because we don't see the Pac-12 as much all year, so you don't know the depth of their pitching staff. But the offense for both teams can score runs, but the explosive bats of Stanford are pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. Mark said this too, Coach. Nobody's out there by mistake, right? I mean, everybody out there can play, even the two that are on the plane home. The idea, though, of finding your personality in this event, when you were out there 8 years ago and you had Rodon and Turner and some of these guys, has it been different with this particular team because of its personality, or are there some similarities there?
I think there's always similarities, but I think the differences that I can distinguish is that team that came out here 8 years ago didn't have the hiccups that we had with this team. You know, they didn't start out 1-8. They didn't lose two of their best players in the middle of the year for COVID and contact tracing. They didn't start out the first month of the season with their shortstop out for the first month of the season and a bullpen decimated by injuries. They didn't have those things to overcome. And I think sometimes the more you overcome the hiccups that you have, I just got the – they don't have Pack and Durham out here in Omaha. So I was just watching Nick Saban and Bill Belichick on HBO before I came down here to shoot this. And Bill Belichick talked about sometimes it's good to have that hiccup during the season when you're 8-0 or 13-0 or whatever it is and get that loss to make you refocus and understand what you have to do. So I think this team – grinded a little more along the way than the team in 2013, but they were both great teams. And they both had – we won a great game, 1-0 over Vanderbilt, and we lost a heartbreaker 2-1, the eventual national champion UCLA back in 2013.
All right, Coach, let me get this right. Packer or Durham or Saban and Belichick? I'm sensing upgrade is what I'm sensing in your television viewing habits on that one, just from the get-go. That's a major upgrade.
I didn't say I picked one or the other. I had no choice. They don't have Packer and Durham out here. I couldn't find it in my hotel, so I was forced to watch Saban and Belichick.
All right. Well,
but it was good.
All right. Let me just then take a page of great coaches, because that's both those guys from that category. Great coaches are always looking for an edge. I'm sure you and your team, while getting some rest, took out a little, spent some time last night with Virginia and Mississippi State. What did you gather from that game as a coaching moment for your team moving forward?
I didn't gather anything. I just felt a little heartbreak for Virginia. McGarry pitched an unbelievable game. Matter of fact, I was texting with Scott Foxhall this morning a while ago. And I was just telling Foxhall he did a great job of shutting that Virginia offense down after the rocky start. And then I told him McGarry looked like he looked like a lighter against us. He was really, really good, and Virginia just had that very unfortunate ending, and I felt really bad for Brian O'Connor and that Virginia ball club.
Elliot, when you watch this tournament unfold, and I know you like watching the other ball games. I mean, you've done that for years. Anytime we've ever been at the ACC together, you're around the ballpark even when your team's not playing. What do you glean from this event? Is there something that's taking priority at this point in the tournament? Is it pitching? I mean, what's kind of turned the characteristic of the World Series in your mind?
Well, you're right. I like watching every other game because there's something you're going to pick up. Now, I'm missing the expertise of sitting beside Randy Carroll and Wes Durham, so I'm not picking up as much as I did in the old days.
Yeah.
But But I do. Yeah, I'm serious. We used to have great conversations, and y'all would add something that would help me. And but anyway, let me kick this thing off. Something's going on here. Yeah. Something must be in trouble. The head of academics is calling me right now at 7:30 in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what that is. But anyway, there's something you pick up, but you touched on it. Great pitching. There is great, great, terrific pitching in this tournament. I knew there was great pitching in college baseball. More pitchers go to college and instead of opting for the pros right out of high school. And the evidence has been the last 5 or 6 days. When I watch some of these guys pitch, all these guys look like they could pitch in Double A right now.
Well, I hope that the head of academics is calling you to get 4 for Friday, because okay. Anything other than that would be a problem, Coach, in the middle of June.
Yeah, it's we're going to have to continue to do what we've been doing, and that's pitching effectively. And our starters have been going deep in games for us. As Sam did, as Reed Johnston did the first night, and we're going to have to continue that to have success and stay out here a little longer.
All right. So we asked you yesterday about what's the plan. It sounds like more rest and chill out for you guys, right? I mean, for the most part, there's no need to push it.
No, we need rest. There's no question. We're going to have breakfast this morning at 9:30. We're going to go. Practice at 11 o'clock for about 75 minutes only. It's going to be really, really, really hot today. So we're going to go out and get an early practice time at 11 o'clock to about 12:15, 12:30. And then we're going to come back. And these guys have a lot of family here. So they're enjoying a great family time. You know, it's an unbelievable Father's Day. You saw the great clip of Virginia, with a catcher hitting the home run and his dad, which was something that's a lifetime memory that will be there forever. And our guys got to experience a great Sunday with Father's Day. And maybe they watched the U.S. Open. Maybe they just walked around the great city of Omaha. But this is they'll spend a lot of family time today and hopefully get some rest.
Hey, I want to – real quick, we talked with Jeff Gravely about this. How about David Thompson showing up out there? Did you handle that okay? Because I know that meant something to you. When DT's in the seats, that gets it flowing for number 9, doesn't it?
That meant everything to me. I mean, you know how I love NC State. And David Thompson, he transcends time like no other athlete for NC State. And for DT to fly out here, that meant the absolute world to me. And he's been texting. He's on a group chain with a lot of people, and he's been texting me. And, years ago he did something very special. He came off knee surgery. And I'll try to quicken this story, but he was off knee surgery. And we were playing in Charlotte. He said, Elliot, I'll be at the game. I said, David, you just came off knee surgery. You don't need to. He said, yeah. I said, well, I'll try to get you a park close to the stadium. So when we parked the bus, I asked the guy at the front door, I said, hey, I got a friend coming in who just had knee surgery. Can he park here? He said, no, sir, only ambulances and fire trucks. Nobody else can park here. I said, well, okay, I'll call David Thompson and see if he can park somewhere else. He said, David Thompson? You're talking about David Thompson? I said, yes, sir. Well, he can park here, he said. He can park here. Forget the ambulances. Forget the fire trucks. So DT came to the game. And I think we were up like 11-0. And when I got on the bus after the game, he texted me. He said, Elliot, looks like you got this one in hand. I'm going to leave. I'm feeling kind of, the knee was acting up. and I think we won 11-7 or something. But he left, and it was 11-0. But DT coming out here not only means everything to me, it means everything. It means everything to NC State fans. And I don't know, but I hope we're going to get a Russell Wilson sighting before this thing's over with.
Nice. By the way, wow. Wes, would you like to explain to Coach Elliott Avent our fill-in-the-blank question from about 30 minutes ago, since he wasn't able to watch Packer and Durham, and you're answering mine? Could you please do that for me, please?
Okay. Now, Elliott, here's the question. Today's the 10-year anniversary of Kyrie Irving being taken number one overall in the NBA draft. So the question was, the best number one pick ever to come out of ACC in basketball is blank.
David Thompson.
Wes, could you tell Coach Elliott Avent? Could you tell Coach Elliott Avent who you selected and who I picked?
I took Ralph Sampson, Elliott.
Good pick. I can't fault you for that one. 7'4".
Okay.
He could do everything. Yeah. I can't fault you for that one. Who did Packer pick?
Do you even have to ask?
He picked Elliott? DT. Because Elliott, Packer had a pair of DT shoes. Remember those old DT shoes that came out?
Absolutely.
Packer had a pair of those. We're still trying to find a pair on eBay that we can put on the shelf in the basement.
Hey, Wes, as much as I respect you, you know I do. And as far back as our friendship goes, and it goes further back than in mine and Pack's, it seems like Pack and I agree on more things than you do today. So I don't know what that is, but it just seems as I watch. You know, I watch your show. I tape it every day, and I watch it in my leisure.
I know,
and I enjoy it. And it seems like me and Pack are on the same course more often now.
Yeah. By the way, one more.
Well, that's good because that'll be.
I've got one more legitimate question. You play Friday in the afternoon. You beat up on Stanford in the afternoon. You had a thriller in prime time with Vanderbilt. The difference of that ballpark, afternoon versus night, Elliott, you've lived both of them. You got W's in both of them, but you're going to play Friday afternoon. How different is the ballpark in the middle of the afternoon?
Well, it's all about the wind. And usually the wind, if it's going to kick up, it'll kick up in the daytime or at least be where the ball is going to carry more. And it's all about carrying this ballpark. And but at night, it seems a little more like you have to catch it pretty good to get it out of here. But from what I saw last night, especially at the end of that game, Mississippi State hit a couple big home runs. But I wasn't there last night. I was watching on TV, and I didn't ask Fox how the wind was going, but it's all about the wind. And I saw the weather this morning. That's the first thing I watched before I jumped on Saban and Belichick. But the rain's going to come in. It looks like the rain's going to come in. It's 91 today. That's why we're practicing at 11 o'clock in the morning on AstroTurf. And but the rain's going to come in toward the weekend and the rest of early next week.
Best of luck. Get some rest.
Well, I want to congratulate. Yeah, good luck tomorrow. We're looking forward to our Friday, rather. We're looking forward to following your team. And also want to let you know that since you and Pack agree on so much, I can sense that there'll be a Packer and Avent show at some point in the fall. You just drive on down to Charlotte. You sit in the basement. I'll be off doing a game somewhere, and we'll just have Packer and Avent for 3 hours. Since you and Pack agree a lot, that'd be a good time for everybody.
No, I didn't say you and I have agreed for probably 25-plus years on many, many, many subjects.
That's right.
I just said now sometimes Packer and I agree more often, but I would love to be on the show, but not Packer and Avent.
Oh, I know.
I would love to be on the show as a guest with Packer and Durham the way it should be. And you make sure you think
3 hours.
I can do it. You make sure you thank your sweet mama for watching us play and tell how much I appreciate it. And I thank my sweet mama. Right. My sweet mama is watching every game, and I understand she's going crazy.
Hey, Elliott,
That's what mamas are for, Eric.
Hey, Elliott, I got a bat and plenty of bourbon, so come on down.
I think we'll get along. Okay.
See you, Coach.
All right, see you, man. Guys.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.